This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you. Welcome to those who are in the church at the moment and also those who are following us with Facebook Live. It's a pity that we cannot be together, that we cannot enjoy the fellowship. The few guys over here are really enjoying it, being together. And it's awesome, even if we're a small group in the church over here, that we can be excited about God and who God is in our lives. Before I'm going to start with the sermon, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Yeah, thank you. Thank you that irrespective of the turbulence around us, Father, in the world, in a small country like the Netherlands, political, economical, things are happening around us. But then we know there's only one thing which is going to last forever, which is always the same, and that's you, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that confirmation what you're giving to us each and every time, that you want to be our Father, and that we can come to you as your children. And we can come the way we are. It's not a matter of that you first say to us, but you've got to do this or you've got to do that, and then you can come to me. But you're a father who's always standing with the arms wide open and says, come, come my child, I'm waiting for you. I knew you were coming. And thank you for that opportunity, that you are always available, Father. And Father, I pray as would we going to hear what you want to share with us this afternoon, that if the enemy wants to distract us, that we can bind him in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can focus on the words, and that we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts in the name of Jesus. The sound sounds a little bit too hard. I'm not quite sure about it, what the others are, but I'm leaving it in your capable hands. Today we're going to speak about peace, love, and joy only come from you, and then use with a capital. Peace, love, and joy only come from God. It doesn't come from another place. And somewhere we started with it already last week when we spoke about looking ahead. Looking ahead what the year is concerned, but also looking ahead as what I just now mentioned, the circumstances around us, because we can be so caught up in what the news bulletins are saying. But what has got eternal value is what God wants to share with us. And Paul was helping us with the scripture out of Philippians 3, where he said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, that he already reached that stage. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward, looking ahead to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then the prize what he's talking about, that prize what he's talking about, what he wants to get, and that prize was peace. Peace from God, shalom from God, because there was harmony again. It was restored again, where Jesus is the restoration of that broken peace. The relationship with God is restored again. And that peace... that God of peace, it's so awesome that we've got such a God who wants to give us that peace. Philippians 4 verses 9 says this as well. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. That word do, we're going to see it a little bit later. And then it's translated with the word practice. But it means you've got to practice it. You've got to live it out. You've got to perform it repeatedly. So it's not a matter of that you only do it once a year or maybe once a week, but that you're continuously doing it. It's not a single act. And that you are committed to that, that you are committed to do those things what Paul is saying there, what I've learned you, what you've received, what you heard and what you saw in me. Do this. Duplicate it. Execute it. Commit yourself to it. And today God wants to talk to us again about that relationship between him and us. And he wants to show us again today where I feel that we've got to make, continuously we've got to make a choice. Continuously we are being approached. Continuously we've got to have a look and say, okay, what is more important? What does God wants us to do? We've got to make choices. We've got to make spiritual choices each and every time. We've got to do it according to his will. Because the choices what we make in relationship with God are the choices of death and life. It's not a choice of which pair of socks you're going to wear in the morning. Because tomorrow you can put on another pair of socks. But it's about a relation with the living God, a relation with the God who created heaven and earth. It's about death and life. It's nearly like black and white. And the passage where we're going to have a look at it today is coming out of Galatians 5, from 16 to 26. That part we're going to speak about just now. And there's actually not a part in the Bible which is so contrasting between the lifestyle of a spirit-filled person and the lifestyle of a person who's controlled by human nature. They are opposite each other. They are actually contradicting each other. And Paul is not ashamed of it. Paul is not ashamed of putting it in writing and sending it in that letter to the churches in Galatia. In English terms, they would say, Paul is not ashamed to call a spade, or beating around a bush. He's really straightforward. And I was a little bit interested in that calling spade a spade. And I thought, okay, what do they say in the other countries? And then if we take a look at the Spanish people, they say, call a bread, and wine, wine. So they also have got a similar type of a saying. The French people are going to an animal. They say, call a cat. Why they've specifically chosen for a cat, I'm not quite sure. And if we take a look at the Dutch, they haven't got something similar. But what they're saying is, het beestje bij zijn naam noemen. You're not putting anything around it. Geen doekjes omdraaien of geen doekjes omwinden. You're straightforward. You're straight to the point. You're mentioning what has got to be mentioned. And this is what Paul is doing this afternoon in this part what we're going to have a look at. Paul is calling flesh, flesh. And he's calling spirit, spirit. And that's where we're going to have a look at this afternoon. Because Paul is maintaining that it is impossible that we can earn ourselves into a right relationship with God. That's impossible to do. We cannot do it. We cannot earn ourselves a place into heaven. But what he is saying, and we will read it just now, is if we're doing certain things, we can disqualify ourselves from heaven. Very straight. Very, like I just now said, he's calling a spade, very straightforward. If we're doing certain things, we're going to shut ourselves out of the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 18. I, who's Paul then says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but you're led by the Spirit. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. He says there, walk in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you live in the Spirit, you follow the Spirit, you are occupied with the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that word flesh over there is talking about the flesh which is stripped from the skin. It is the meat of the animal, but it has got more in it. It's also the human nature, which is called flesh, with its weaknesses, the physical and the moral weaknesses, and also its passions. It's also, the flesh is also talking about the human being, which is mentioned as a flesh, carnal. So we can also say it in that way, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the human nature. We are born with it. We were born in sin. So for us, it's not difficult to do those things. If we just let it go, it will happen. And then we come to Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. And then he's mentioning all of them. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are. And then he's mentioning all of them. He's mentioning 17 of them. Some translations only have got 16. They haven't got the first one, adultery. But others, they've got 17 over there. And I think adultery is one of the big problems which they had at that time, 2,000 years back, which we still have nowadays. And he's mentioning them, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very straightforward. And those type of things are happening around us. The world is full of those illustrations. The world is full of those things, what Paul has been mentioning just now, which is coming out of a corrupt human nature. I'm going to quickly run through all 17 of them. For the reason what I'm doing it is that sometimes a word has got more in it is what we think. And listen to it. And if there's something which you feel, wait a moment, that's applicable to me, keep it. If we come to the ministry part at the end of the sermon, that you can sort it out between you and God. The first one is adultery of the 17. Like I said, in certain translations, that is not mentioned over there. Why it's not mentioned, I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I think nowadays it's logic. We see it so many times that married people are having an intercourse with someone where he or she is not married to, where we will see a defilement of the marriage bed. The next one is fornication, where there's a form of sexual intercourse or sexual contact outside the marriage relationship. At the moment, we're doing marriage preparations with two couples in the congregation, and we spoke about it, this specific one, where God is then, of where the people are getting married, where they're leaving the father and the mother, where the husband and wife are coming together and they become one, and where we see in the world that it is actually the other way around. They first jump together in bed, then they stay together, and then they let the mom and dad know that they are moving out of the house or they already moved out of the house. Paul is writing it 2,000 years back. We still have got exactly the same problem over here. And if the people say, no, but you're a little bit, you must go along with time, it's custom over here and all those type of things. No, no way. If Paul had already the problem at that time, it means that the problem hasn't gone away. God is exactly the same. We've got to address that problem. The next one is uncleanness and impurity, sexual sins. And that's including secret thoughts and desires, which impurities, from where impurities begin and affect us morally and spiritually. If we start thinking about it, if we see certain things and it starts creating a certain desire in us, that is uncleanness. Lewdness, where we've got a shameful and an abnormal behavior and a lack of self-control, and where we are letting our passions, where we're going to let it flow in our desires, and we're doing things where we're not ashamed for, and where we're not thinking about public decency. Idolatry. Idolatry is where we're worshipping spirits, false gods, persons, images, and anything else instead of the true God. Anything else instead of the true God. That's when we would talk about idolatry. And also where someone or something is loved, where you are a fan of a certain person, that person can become an idolatry for you, an idol for you. Where you're trusting and giving that person an important input in your life, even above what God is putting into your life. And where you're allowing anyone or anything equal or greater influence or authority than God and His Word. is the most subtle form of idolatry. When we've got to make a choice, what are we going to do? Are we going to spend time with God, or are we going to follow a series what we're seeing on TV? And if we're going to watch the TV, and if we're going to follow the series, in effect, it's actually becoming an idol, because we're spending more time with that, and we're finding that more important than God is His word. The next one is sorcery. And I also had a look at the Greek word over there, and the Greek word is pharmakia. And then immediately if we hear the word pharmakia, then we think about our pharmacists. Listen, sorcery, it's a Greek word pharmakia, which is talking about witchcraft, spiritism, black magic, worship of demons, that you won't find at a pharmacy, no. But if use of drugs to produce spiritual experiences, then we're talking about pharmacy. If we're going to drink things, and if we're going to take certain medicines, we're going to drink certain pills, which are going to give us a spiritual experience with the purpose of giving us a spiritual experiences, then we're doing sorcery. We're not quickly thinking about it, but it's as bad as that. Hatred, where there's hostile thoughts, motives, and actions, which are including extreme dislikes, anger, and desire to cause conflict. As I'm busy with these at the moment, I'm glad that the people are not here and that the door is closed, because I think if we had a normal congregation over here, you must probably had a few people who would stand up and walk out and say, well, I'm not going to change my life. If that is what God wants me to do, then I'm out, then I'm not in the church. But Paul is telling us, straightforward, this is what God wants us, we shouldn't get involved with. And if we are involved with it, we must move out over there. Contentions, where there's strife, which involves quarreling, causing and undue tensions, and where there's a disunity and a struggling for superiority over others. We see it so many times in our lives, where people are fighting to be the boss of the other one, where they want to be superior. Jealousies, where we are envy of other person's situations or success. If you're lucky, and if you're driving a bicycle, and you're in the rain and in the wind, and then a guy is next to you in a car, and he's seated in a car, and he's got his music switched on, there's maybe a little bit of jealousy in you. But remember, you've got a relationship with God. He maybe only has got his car, and once that thing is rusted up, he hasn't got anything anymore. An outburst of wrath, where there's an explosive outburst of anger that can result in violent words and actions. Selfish ambitions, where we are pursuing personal power or success without considering the desires of God or the impact that it will have with others. We are driven for that. We've got so many books which says the 7 steps to be a successful man, 5 steps to be a successful woman. They can do it a little bit faster in nowadays the circumstances. And then dissensions, causing divisions or introducing teachings not supported by God's word. This is one thing which is creeping in sometimes in churches, where you've got people which are unhappy, and then they start talking to others and causing divisions, causing that the people are moving apart, that they're not busy with God's word, but that they are listening to what the other person is saying over there. Heresies, that is where we've got divisions within a church, congregations, or a group of Christians that develop into a selfish groups or cliques, destroying the unity of the church. We've got to be very careful for that. Each and every person walking in over here should experience a family of God. They should feel welcome over here. It's not that we've got a certain group for that language or a certain group from that language or that skin color. No, we're all children of God, the living God. Envy, if there's jealous and resentful dislikes of another person who has something that one desires, or desire to have something that belongs to someone else. The last one is where advertisement is working on. They show you advertisements and they tell you your neighbor is going on a holiday to Spain, or you're not going. Your other neighbor is going for a ski holiday to Austria, or you're not going. And then that the people are desiring that. They want to have something the same as what other people have got. Murderers take somebody, person's life. But even cursing that person or thinking something bad about that person is already a way of murdering. Drunkenness, where there's a weakened mental or physical control as a result of consuming alcoholic and intoxicating drinks. It is a problem. It is a problem also here in Utrecht, where the promise has been made. My previous, let's call it municipal workers or municipal governments over here in Utrecht, where they say for the students, there will always be enough liquor. And there's a statue of Bacchus over here as well. It's strange that such a godly city, if we take a look at it, Utrecht is spiritual capital of the Netherlands, that they've got such a statue of Bacchus that they've got it in their town. But that's where the drunkenness is coming from. And revelries, that's referring to group activities, and it's usually involving a number of people assembled then for sexual exchange and involvement as part of a pagan festival or a pagan religious practices. Paul is starting with it and he's stopping with it. And that is the sexual thing, which if we are going to be involved in it, we are disqualifying ourselves from the kingdom of God. Paul is not ashamed of it. He's mentioning it straightforward. The last part of what he said over there, Galatians 5 verses 21b, of which I tell you beforehand, just I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the word do and practice is exactly the same word as what we've read earlier when Paul was writing to the Philippians. The practicing, it means that it is your lifestyle, that you're continuously doing it, that you're performing it repeatedly, that you're committed to it. And those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And when I had a look at the word not, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to find over there, but it was specifically for the people who are working with numbers. It's actually very interesting. The word not in Greek means ou. And if you spell ou, it's two O's. You can also make it two zeros. In financial terms, means absolutely nothing. If you do those type of things, you're going to get nothing of God's kingdom. It says it's the absolute negative. It's no or not. It's never. It's without. But then Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit, where he's talking about the flesh, where he mentioned those 17 things. And I think the churches in Galatia, when they read those letters, they must probably thought about it. Oof, yeah, there are quite a few things which are happening in our lives. And we've seen those things happening in big leaders in the Bible as well. We've seen that David's adultery, murder. We've seen Noah, who had a problem with liquor. And so on, we can point them all out. But the relationship with God, that was where it was going about. That was more important. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit over there is the pneuma, the breath, the Holy Spirit, Christ's Spirit. Galatians 5 verses 22 to 25. And this part is most of the time, this is always quoted. And if you speak to people, they can quote you all the nine fruits of the Spirit. They will immediately tell you exactly who they are. But we mustn't forget that part which was written before that, where we must stay away from. And then it starts with, in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceit, provoking one another, envying one another. And then the gifts of the Spirit, the nine fruits of the fruits of the Spirit. The first one is that agape, that selfless love, what God is showing to us, where we're trying to do the best for the other person without any hidden motive or a personal gain. And then the joy, where we've got a gladness, where we've got a joy on the inside, which is not based on the joy what they've got in the world, because the joy of the world is based on the circumstances. But what we've got from God is that we receive love and grace and blessings and promises, and that we are close to God, and that we belong to God. And if we belong to Christ, then we can have that joy. Also the peace where we've been talking last week about, where we've got that inner calm, and where we've got a contentment. We are content with who we are, and we are based on that knowledge that one is in a right relationship with God, because we are in a right relationship that has been restored again. The peace which was broken, where we spoke about last week, it has been restored again. There's a unity, there's a complete relationship again with God. Then the long suffering, that is a patience and endurance, a perseverance, an ability to wait without becoming angry. I've got sometimes a little bit of a difficult thing with that. If I see a queue somewhere, then I'm not interested in going to that place. I don't want to stand and wait over there. But it says, without becoming angry, annoyed, or upset, and the ability to tolerate being hurt or provoked without losing one's temper. Long-suffering patience is maintaining hope and not to give in to despair. The other fruit of the Spirit is kindness, and involves a true and an active consideration for others. It includes not wanting to hurt anyone or to cause any pain. A kindness, it's about the other person. We can see it, all of them. It's about the other person. Goodness, the next one, a character trait that causes someone to do what is right and beneficial for the others. The passion of fruit, passion for the truth, and a hatred for evil. Faithfulness, a firm and unwavering loyalty and a devotion to a person to whom one is united by promise or commitment. Staying faithful in your relationship, being honest and trustworthy, and it requires actively following through on one's commitment. Gentleness, one who follows the proper way of life, a person will act mercifully and appropriately, and showing a mild friendliness or forbearance, especially to an enemy, when harshness would be expected behavior. And the last one is self-control, the discipline of mastering one's own desires, emotions, and passions. And sometimes that lid is going off, then the self-control is not there anymore. And that self-control is depending on God to overcome temptations and remain spiritually strong and pure. Then Paul says, against such there is no law. If you want to do those fruit of the spirits, there's no law in the whole world which prohibits you to do those type of things. These are coming from God. There's no law who's prohibiting to show and to bear the fruit of the Spirit. The next verse is Galatians 5. It's actually two verses, 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If we are living in the Spirit, if we make it our life, if we are acting in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the word walk over here means that we are walking in a regular line. It's nearly like in a military rank that you march, you walk orderly. It's not a matter of that you stop and then you start again, or you turn left or you turn right or things like that. No, you walk orderly to what God is telling you. And then it says, do not become conceited. Do not let it, that there's going to be an proud on yourself, that there's going to be a vain glory, that you are glorious of what you've been doing. Something like that shouldn't come over us. And we also shouldn't challenge or irritate the other when we are provoking them. And we shouldn't be jealous to one another. We've been looking at the works of the flesh, and we've been of the works of the flesh, and we've been looking at the fruits of the Spirit. And God gave us the Spirit that we can have those fruits of the Spirit. And then the three beautiful promises which God gave is those promises of peace, love, and joy. The fruit of the Spirit is that what naturally grows out of the operation of the Spirit. And that's contrary to the works of the Spirit. The works of the Spirit comes naturally out of us, a human being, if we haven't got any relationship with God. And for a Christian, it maybe looks hard. And we may be not saying, well, we cannot do it. But we must live it. We must live it with the Spirit of God. In verse 14, and also in this chapter 5, it also says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's not to put a burden on it, but it's actually that we can be free, that we can walk free. If Paul would have mentioned only the works of the flesh, I think people would have had a look at it. They would have said, no, it's too difficult for me to do those type of things. I cannot do all those. I cannot stay away from it. It would have been very difficult. They wouldn't have got any joy out of it. If Paul, on the other hand, would have talked only about the fruit of the Spirit, we maybe have a look at it and say, okay, I'll try and see which of those things I can put into my life. But what he's doing over here is putting both of them next to each other, just to show them, this is the one, this is the other one. This is the works of the flesh, this is the fruit of the Spirit. And if I'm going to ask you a question, Seker, which one is actually easier to do, that you can say it's easier to stay away from the works of the flesh, or is it easier to bear the fruits of the Spirit? Then I think most of you are going to answer and say, it's easier to do the fruits of the Spirit. Because if we've got that relationship with God, it's easier for us to do the fruits of the Spirit. Because we can rely on the Holy Spirit, and we're not going to rely on our human nature. Because the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. It's something which God is giving to us. In Acts 2, verses 38, they asked Peter, the people who were surrounding him and who were listening to him when he was preaching over there, they asked him and they said, what must we do? Because before that, they crucified Jesus and they felt bad about it. And they said, what must we do? And then Peter replied and Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we accept Jesus Christ, we are getting the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if we've got the gift of the Holy Spirit, then we can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The first three which are mentioned over there is, like I just said, love, joy, and peace. There are some people who say, it's actually, it should be love, colon, and then it should mention all the others. And all the others are actually part of the love. You can have it different ways. But he's mentioning over there, what if we've got a fruit of the Spirit, what we should be able to show to other people. I turned it a little bit around, and I started with the peace first. Where we can read both in the Old and in the New Testament that the peace is a result of that relationship, what we've got with God. And that love is an action word. Love is not a passive word, but it's a verb which has got motion in it, which has got movement in it, where we're continuously busy with it. because it's unselfish, it's loyal, and it's about for the well-being of another person. That is what it is so important. And then joy. The biblical joy what we've got is different from the joy what we see around us. If you take a look at the people who are watching a game and there's with soccer and there's a score, then they've got joy. But as soon as they walk out of the stadium, I'm not quite sure how much of the joy is actually left. But that inner joy, what we've got, that biblical joy, is different from it because it continuously carries on with it. And even if we are in a circumstance that we say, I'm not feeling that well, that we can just become quiet and that we can start speaking to God and that we can be revived again, that we can be strengthened again, that we can get joy again because it's coming from God and has got eternal life. When Christians grow in their relationship with the Lord, they develop an unselfish love, a true joy, and a lasting peace. If we are in that relationship with God, then we are going to show love, which is unselfish. It's not about us. It's the love that we can show to other people. It's a true joy. It's not that temporary joy what is given in the world only for a short period. And it's a lasting peace, a peace which is going to last forever and ever. Listening to the flesh and listening to the spirit, then we must probably say, sorry, Lord, but we're messing up. We're messing up in this world. We're not really doing what you want us to do. We make mistakes. And the picture what I got is of a child who's got a dirty nappy. Those who are parents among us, they know. Those who are still going to become parents, it is going to happen in your life that you see that child with a nappy and you're not quite sure if you're going to lift up that child, bring it to the bathroom and clean that child. But up to now, I've never seen a mum who wasn't prepared of not doing it. And it's the same with our lives. We can mess up. We can be like a child with a dirty nappy, but we can still go to God, and God is prepared to spend time with us. God is still there that we can spend time with Him. The other thing which also came up when I was busy with the sermon is the veil where we spoke about on Monday with Bible school. We spoke about the veil between the holies and the holies of the holies, which was torn into two pieces when Jesus died. And the thickness of it is approximately the width of my hand. It was torn into pieces. What happened over there? God said, I want to be with my children. I want to be with you. And for us, it is now to decide if we want to be with Him. And when that veil was torn, God's light was also visible. If we read in Revelations, we see that in the New Jerusalem, there's not going to be a light source over there. There are not going to be bulbs over there. The place is going to be lightened up by the presence of God. And if it's going to happen in the New Jerusalem, then as God is never changing, I think we can say exactly the same in the Holy of Holies in the temple and in the Holies of the Holies in the tabernacle, what they had in the desert, that place was lightened up by the presence of God. And where that veil was torn, the light of God was visible. But then it is for us to decide, are we opening up our curtains? Are we allowing the light into our lives or not? Or are we going to keep it a little bit closed and say, Lord, these are things in my life. And I'm referring now to the flesh, the works of the flesh. They are in my life and I don't want you that you should see them, but I want to carry on with them. Then we are not actually in an open relationship with God. And this afternoon, God wants to remind us again that He wants to be with us through the Holy Spirit. That if we receive the Holy Spirit, we can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And God shows us again that He is actually giving us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because if we accept the Holy Spirit, then we expect accepting also the fact that we can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Peace, love, and joy only come from You. This is a song what we're going to hear just now. But before we're going to listen to that song, and if you want to sing along, you can sing as well. God is giving it to us. It comes from God. And yes, I've mentioned things this just now where you say, well, yeah, it's not good to mention them in a church, but we've got to mention them. God is straightforward. Those are the things which have been mentioned, and we've got to have a look at those things. We've got to get those things out of our lives, that we can focus on God and that we can show, that we can show the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Thank You, Father. Thank You that You are speaking to us again, that You are reminding us again. And it maybe sounds a little bit, it's again. It's again the things what we shouldn't do and the things what we've got to do. But Father, if we want to have a relationship with You, and through the Holy Spirit You spoke to Paul and Paul wrote these things down, then we cannot ignore them, Father. Then we have got to take it seriously. And thank You, Father, that You're reminding us this afternoon again that You want to be with us through the Holy Spirit. And then once we've got the Holy Spirit in us, that it is easy for us to show and to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that we can abide into Jesus to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Father, there may be people listening now and they say, you're talking about God, you're talking about a relationship, you're talking about the light of God into my life, but I've never taken that decision. I've never made God my Father. I've never called Jesus my friend. I've never thanked Jesus that He died for the sins, what I've done. And I've never invited the Holy Spirit to be my helper. And if you're listening now and you say, but today I want to start that relationship with God, then I'm going to ask you to make contact with me or with Renee after this sermon, that we can pray along with you. And Father, thank You also that You're reminding to those who already made that commitment, who already are in a relationship with You, that we are reminded again of how does our life look like at the moment. Are we busy with a relationship with You, Father? Or is it just an on and off situation? And I'm going to ask You that if you feel that there are things which I've mentioned when I elaborated a little bit on the works of the flesh, that those are applicable to you, that you're going to raise your hand, that we can pray together. And then later on, when we are busy with singing the song, that you can bring those things also to the Lord, and that you can make business with the Lord, that you can get rid of those things in your life, and that there can be a change where the works of the flesh are going to disappear and where we're going to see fruits of the Spirit. And if that's you and if that's applicable to you, then I'm going to ask you now that you're going to raise your hand, that you're going to say, yes, there are things over there which are in my life which I've got to get rid of. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you're going to, through the Holy Spirit, that you're going to reveal of the things what people have got to get rid of, which are works of the flesh, which is works of our nature. We are born in sin. It's so easy for us to do those things, but they shouldn't be in our life. And Father, that we can repent of those things, that we can get rid of those things. And if it happened only once, then we can still repent, that it is not going to get an open door to steal or to destroy or to kill in our lives. Father, if there's also people who feel that when they heard again this afternoon, they said, but I'm listening not enough to the Lord. I'm not reading enough. And I'm reading selective. And I only want to read what I want to read. Because the things which have been mentioned this afternoon, Father, or for some of them are maybe a little bit harsh. I pray, Father, that they're also going to spend more time with you, that they're going to spend more time with that relationship what they've got with you, Father, that they can leave those works of the flesh behind and that they can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, that Paul could remind us again this afternoon about the things we've got to stop and the things we've got to do, but that you love us and that you've given us the Holy Spirit, which makes it so much easier to bear those fruits. Thank you, Father, that you are a Father who's always available for us. Our nappy is never too dirty. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.